Honorable, I draw your attention to the Christmas schedule of masses, which is in the bulletin this week, and notice that the mass in this chapel on that day is at 9 o'clock. I also draw your attention to the fact that Wednesday and Friday and Saturday of this week are Ember Days, and they are therefore days of fast and abstinence. You may eat meat once on Wednesday and Saturday. In today's bulletin, we have an addendum, and that is concerning coming events. I do not wish to make it sound as though we are promoting anything in particular, but I think most of us have been reading a great deal about coming events, and the only point that we're trying to make is be prepared. Do to the greatest extent you can to protect yourselves for what may be standing in the future for us. We do not know. It is entirely possible that nothing will happen. We have no way of knowing for sure. But our advice is better to be safe than sorry. Try to have food and water in your house. Much food and quite a bit of water. Have warm clothes and such like in your house. Be sure you follow the advice that is given there concerning the banks, and have in your house anything that you may need in order to protect yourselves and to protect your children. From what we have picked up, this is not an adventure series. It's going to last for 2 or 3 days and then like a snowstorm. And so we prepare ourselves for the next 2 or 3 terrible days of snow, then it's over. From what we can find out is that this is something that's going to last for a time. And it could last for a year or two, for all we know. So for goodness sake, be careful and protect yourselves, and don't go around telling people what you have stored up in your house or houses, because it could be the break-ins, people looking for food or whatever, could take place. So be careful in every respect, be careful and prepare yourselves. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, I wish to take this opportunity to be with you before Christmas and to wish each and every one of you and those you love most in my own name, in the name of the monks and the sisters, a holy and blessed Christmas. These Christmases seem to come around with more rapid succession year after year. The older you get, the more they seem to come around. I do not exactly wish to go into my usual Christmas spiel, because you've heard it already on more than one occasion, but I do wish to put to your attention, especially in all of this that we already have talked about this morning, there is more than ever before, there seems to be in the air a bit of nervousness, more than usual. People have a more nervous look about them, a more concerned look about them. The things that it appears that they may have the feeling that the things that they have placed so much security in past days, they may seem to think or feel that there's something that could happen to these things that they have used in the past to give them security. Our security is not in things. A gust of wind can blow it all away. Our security is not in things. Actually, our security is not in each other. if we really wish to be frank about it, our security is in God. And we have to understand this, that this security is in God and what it means and what it entails. Christmas is not a day for things. Christmas is a day for God. And to forget God on Christmas Day would be a serious mistake. And most people do forget God on Christmas Day. As a matter of fact, to them, Christmas is over on Christmas Day, and the very significance of it all, they've missed. Where do they go on Christmas Day? They go to things. Do things give them security? No. The spiritual life is what we are trying our best to present. If I don't come down here during the week, or in week after week, and Father Sebastian does, we are trying to present to you in the bulletins at least some description of the spiritual life, week after week. The spiritual life is not just an accumulation of information. Spirituality is not an accumulation of information. Some people think it is. And some people present it as though the spiritual life is something that comes from a store of information, that we know what to do here, and we know what we should do there, and we know what is required of us. And what I am discovering, to my complete amazement, is that the majority of the people today do not know how to be Catholic. This is an amazement, but I think it's true. And it makes sense. There is a generation, or rather I should say, the generation that was in the neighborhood of the 20s, or 25s, or 20, or 30 years of age, when the bomb fell upon their church, did not take it too terribly serious. They did not stop to question. They did not stop to analyze. They did not stop to look into. They merely flowed with the stream. And you remember during those days, what was the battle cry? And many priests followed along. I too, for one, for a while. You remember the battle cry, get with it. You remember when that was said to everything, get with it, get with it. And too many people did get with it. That was a generation of that year, of those years. Then came the next generation that was born perhaps in the 70s or thereabouts. And the generation previous to that was not able to give it the Catholic experience because they had forgotten about it. They had gotten with it. And they had forgotten the Catholic experience. And the children were growing up minus the Catholic experience. Then came the next generation, perhaps our teenagers of today. And our teenagers of today are just plain and simply unfamiliar with the whole program. And these are going to be the parents of our fourth generation coming up. What can they give? If they don't have it, they can't give it. And so many of our own children, we try to cover up. We try to put clothing on them. We try to surround them in some way, shape, or form. And we know that our children are not Catholic. We know that our children are not living the Catholic experience. And now we have grandparents who are making sure that the babies are baptized. the parents are not that interested. So it falls to the great, to the grandparents, who still have that sparkle or that spark of the Catholic experience enough to know that baptism is necessary. And this is where we are approaching, or how we are approaching, the Christmas event. Catholics today think that so long as they go to Mass on Sunday, so long as they make an attempt to say the rosary occasionally, better yet every day, so long as they make some kind of an effort not to eat meat on Friday, so long as they don't eat candy during Lent, that is the essence of Catholicism. My beloved people, that is the essence of nothing. Catholicism is not the observance of just some simple things to be done. Catholicism means an internal disposition that prepares us for the purpose for which we were created. If we fail to become saints, that would be the great mistake. And the only way we can become saints is not by observing certain externalisms. Today, that's what's being pressured in too many places. It isn't by the, you've heard me say, how many times have you heard me say, it is not enough to come here and put your gift on this altar and then walk away. It is not enough. And traditional sources seem to maintain, and they seem to give the impression, strong impression, that it is enough to do that. That is not enough. We have to see within ourselves a change. A change to uproot our inclinations, our base inclinations, our stupidities, our pride, our sensual natures, our sense of gluttony, and on and on and on. These are the things, and the thing that is uppermost above all, and the reason why we try to uproot pride and gluttony and all that. Why do we bother to do this? Is because the person who is to be born on Christmas Day gave us the example that this has to be what a human being must do in order to save his immortal soul. And from that moment, from the moment of his cradle to the moment of the cross, he gave us the example that this is what is expected of one if one has it in his mind to save his soul. Anything less than that, forget it. It won't happen. No matter who we are, it won't happen. Christmas, as we know, is the day that belongs to our Lord, or should belong to our Lord. And you and I both know the competitions that our Lord has to face on that awesome day. And you and I both know how much people give in to the competition on that day. And the thing that we have to worry more than anything else is, to what degree do we enter in and join the competitors? Is Christ the center of our being on Christmas Day? To what extent do we allow all of the hoopla that is involved on that day to invade the peace and the serenity and the calm of our family circles? Christmas is not a day for much activity, really, but Christmas is a day to be able to go off a bit and set aside and meditate. Peace is in the meditation. not in the package of things. The meditation will continue to be with us. The meditation will bring serenity to us. It isn't that moment of, let us all get together, let us all open the packages, let us ooh and ah at what I have been given by this person and that person and the other person. Things, 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 things. Things give me no serenity of soul whatsoever. They give me just a moment's exhilaration. And as soon as that moment is over, I'm just left hanging there. And I'm looking for something to hold me. But the thing that I have been given doesn't uphold me. It dropped me. And there I am, alone, all by myself, with me and a thing that I'm holding in my hands. And my mind is not at rest. My mind is not at peace. And my serenity is shattered. If we could only learn to look where peace is. We're not talking, when we use the word peace, we're not talking about truce between people. You know, today they say goodwill, peace, goodwill to men, as if, you know, here's the gift, you take it, peace, goodwill to men. That wasn't the song at all. The song was to peace to men of goodwill. And goodwill involves a whole involvement. Just remember that the angels were given this peace to be brought to man. And just remember that up on the hill was the great accumulation of all the doctors and the teachers and the good holy people, the self-righteous people, the people who never did anything wrong. The good people. But the angels passed right over them, ignored them as if they were not even there. And they approached the most unlikely individuals that could be thought of at the time. The poor, ignorant shepherds who were aware of their sinfulness. That's where the peace was given. Those were the men who were classified as men of goodwill. Those were the men, the ones, the individual, the people who were attractive to God. Not the holy self-righteous ones up there on the hill. Not the type that went up, when the two men went up to the temple to pray, and one of them thanked God that he was so much better than the rest of men, even like that poor beggar in the back of the church. And the poor beggar in the back of the church merely said, O Lord, be merciful to me, because I sin much. It was his goodwill that made him and the shepherds acceptable to God. The other, who looked down on all the sinners and who placed themselves above everybody else, these were ignored. These were overlooked. Christmas is a day of humility. Christmas is a day that we must acknowledge our fault. Christmas is a day that we must make every effort to spend that day acknowledging our love for God. That's all. How many of us ever thank God for Christmas? How many of us ever thank Christ for Christmas? We think that this is probably needless. But look at what kind of love that God had for you and for me, that he should send his son down to help you and me. And if we did not get this kind of help, where would we be? What would be our destiny? How frustrated would the purpose that God made me be had it not been for this awesome event? So, again, I wish you, we wish you, the holiness of this occasion. Do not let the noise that's going on in other people's houses affect your house. It is in the quiet of the night that the awesomeness of the event took place. Can you imagine Christ being born in the midst of noise, in the midst of excitement? Can you imagine that? In the midst of loud music, in the midst of comings and goings and all that business, can you imagine such an event? No. It was his father, his mother, and a couple of animals. And the God who created his father and his mother and a couple of animals, that's where he decided would be the most fitting place on all of this earth for him to come as an infant. I don't recommend that we try to reestablish that kind of scene necessarily, but at least that we do establish the serenity, the atmosphere of that beautiful evening, that beautiful night rather, when Christ was born. This is what we wish for you. Put aside the sophistications of this world. They leave you hungry. They leave you starving. They leave you empty. They leave you nervous. Rather, look to the simplicity that was appropriate for the coming of Christ, my beloved people. If you will kneel, I will give you my blessing for the Christmas for yourselves.